It's time to wake to sleep with the number one sleep authority, Sleep Science Today, and Sleep Better Tonight.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today. This is the show where we talk about sleep and the science behind sleep. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. Today, we're talking about a new product out on the market. We're talking with the founder and CEO of Percy Sleep, and her name is Connor Herman. Connor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Andrew. This is going to be fun.
Yes. So I met Connor at the annual sleep conference. We have a big, huge conference nationally once a year, actually probably internationally, and all sorts of new technology and new science and new discoveries come out at the conference. So this was exciting to be able to have this episode. Let's start with a real basic definition of what is Percy Sleep, and then we're going to get into the inspiration behind it.
Sure. So Percy is a contactless, non-video nighttime monitor. But instead of the things that are normally collected by a biometric device like heart rate and breath rate, we do that. But we're primarily focused on understanding the environment at night and how an individual interacts in their environment. So we're looking for episodic events, like how often are you on your phone? How often is somebody coming in and out of the room and interrupting your sleep? Are there things going on outside of your room? Or are there things happening inside the room? And how all of those events are correlated so that we can really pinpoint what is waking you up.
Fantastic. Well, I certainly want to get into understanding the technology at some point. But before we get into that, I think it'll be helpful to start with a backstory. And obviously, with every new invention, there had to be a reason, an inspiration for this. So give us the benefit of what was your inspiration.
Sure. So if we really go back, I was an officer in the Air Force. I was an intelligence officer, and I traveled a lot. I set up a lot of bases. I ended up at the National Security Agency running expeditionary operations, and it was my favorite job on the planet. And I happened to have been promoted and then subsequently got I had my first son. And wonderful. It was an exciting time, but also a wild time because I got postpartum depression. It was very, very bad. And I convinced myself that I was not fit to serve anymore. Hmm. And this was, a surprise to a lot of people, but I just kind of packed up and I followed my husband to New York. And it wasn't until I started sleeping at night and my son had started sleeping at night that I started to get better. And that contrast of how I felt when I was sick to when I was healthy made me realize, oh my gosh, I was really in trouble and nobody knew. No, not a single person knew what was going on in my brain. And I still, to this day, feel it on the inside of my body. I think it's why I'm so driven to fix this for other people. Mm-hmm. And that realization that I can have the best doctors in the world. I can have all of this oversight, all of these officers, all of my entire family, everything. But no one knew. Nobody pinpointed what was happening to me. And it was all connected to my son's sleep. So even if they had known that I had postpartum depression, they could have offered me an antidepressant.
Right.
And if they had known that I was depressed because I was sleep deprived, they might have given me a sleep aid. But who was really going to address the fundamental reason of why I was so sick?
Right.
There are zero people in our entire chain that could have addressed and pinpointed the one thing that would have made the difference. And it just so happens that I accidentally got better. And so that's when I started my first company, which was Dream Team Baby in New York. And I was determined to save moms from throwing themselves off buildings because that's where I was. And I said, well, we've got to get, you know, the answer to my problem is getting people into people's homes. Moms can't be isolated. We need to get help into the homes. People need to see what's really happening. And then we can fix the problem and we can get people sleeping. And it worked. It was amazing. We were on all the morning shows. We trained a lot of consultants to go in, and we met the most interesting people. It worked every time. And it was one of the most exciting times of my life. That company got to the point that I couldn't scale it. I was working so hard to support all of our consultants, and I was taking care of my own children, and I stopped sleeping again.
No.
And I had a grand mal seizure.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just one night, my husband walked in from a business trip, and I had a grand mal seizure right in the living room, because I was so focused on the company and all the things. And it was my one and only seizure, so I'm fine, according to my neurologist. But again, you know, this critical moment was, I'm working so hard to solve this problem. This is not the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the inspiration for Percy, because Percy is a sensor device that replicates a human being in the room. And what we do is we collect that information that most people have to report by diary or in an interview. Mm-hmm. And having that context is really what helps doctors get to the root of what is really happening and how to fix the problem.
Wow. Wow. That's a pretty intense story. Geez. So several follow-up questions. Just out of curiosity, that the first company that you had, what happened to it? Is it still running?
Oh, well, yes, kind of. It's like I wound it down. I haven't been able to close the website because in my mind, I want to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I just haven't had the bandwidth to figure out how we're going to do what we were doing at scale and build Percy. And so in my mind, there is an extension, a support extension. We'll be able to get Percy's into homes. We'll be able to understand how people are interacting in their environment, and that's going to, it's going to inspire a whole new field, an opportunity to get in and support people. And that's where Dream Team Baby could come back and we could provide that vehicle. But it's not, I mean, now you're talking about like Connor personal, my personal hope, mm-hmm. Because I just can't say goodbye to it. It's a lot of work, and I'd really like to focus on getting the people who could help better data so that they can really focus on helping people recover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and if I can do that first, that's enough. And if I can also pull in a new kind of concierge healthcare service, then I would really love to do that.
Right, right. Well, okay, so it makes sense. You've got parts in place. Let me ask one of the other follow-up questions. So you said that your sleep was problematic and you realized that it was tied to your son's sleep. So what type of sleep issues were you having, and how did you make that realization of what was causing it?
Sure. So my son was awake at night. He cried a lot. and I held him a lot. And there was very little that calmed him except for me holding him. And so it really wasn't that I, if you had put me in a sleep lab, I probably would have had the best night of my sleep. My life. best night of sleep of my life, because the reason that I was up was sheer willpower to provide for my child and make sure he was okay. And so that's really part of Percy, because a lot of times we accidentally treat sleep as if it's not happening, it's a medical reason. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. There's so many reasons why people don't sleep. Like right. in the first case, I had postpartum depression. I had a baby who wasn't sleeping yet. And then the second time I had a grand mal seizure, I had a work problem. Like I was working too much. I was not sleeping. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was obsessed. And so like those are not medical issues. Those are environmental. Those are like I didn't need a pill. It wasn't. You know, there was nothing wrong with me. I just was not realizing what I was doing to myself.
Well,
and like when you're in the middle of it, that's the other thing. Like that's really why I built Percy, is that when you're in the middle of something important, it's very easy to not see what else is going on. And it's hard to lie with sensors. And so it's really going to pull it out. It's really going to show you what's actually happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, can you explain again for you about your sleep? So you're having these issues. You've got the postpartum depression. You've got a lot of things that are going on. When you went, I'm assuming you went to seek help, seek treatment. You were talking about, you know, that before. Nobody asked any questions about environmental issues related to your sleep?
Nobody cared about my sleep.
So they didn't even try to treat your sleep?
Nope. Not at all. Nothing.
Nobody. And so you saw primary care physicians? Like, what type of people did you see?
Mostly doctors for my son, because he had gastric reflux. And so I was really trying to get him the support that he needed. And it wasn't like I knew that I had a depression and I needed to go to a doctor and I needed, you know, somebody to look at me. I was desperately trying to help my son feel better so that he could sleep. And I didn't know if, you know, he was unhappy because he was not eating enough. Like, you just don't know. I did what everybody else did, which is think, okay, well, my son isn't sleeping. It's definitely medical. So I'm definitely going to seek this consultant. I'm going to go and seek this specialist. And again, ever in a million years did I say, I've taught him how to only sleep on me at night. And yes, could he have these, you know, gastric reflux, yes, but is he also capable of sleeping? And what role am I playing in maintaining this dysfunction at night? And so, and that's the missing piece of sleep medicine, really. I mean, like, there are plenty of doctors who are trying to solve it, but to really understand what's happening in somebody's life is very hard. You have to rely on their what they share. And a lot of times it's the thing that they don't share that's the biggest factor that needs to be adjusted, because it's my definition of why I have a problem. And so that's the story, that's the data story I want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
but I might not realize what else is happening around me.
Right. Very interesting. Wow. Well, I guess, you know, one of the takeaways here for this for the listeners is, at least in the U.S. Now, in the U.S. and U.K., from my interviews and all, I understand it's very different. I am told that in the U.K., doctors are very good about asking about sleep. In the U.S., not so much. Maybe a little bit more now than before. But if you are going to see a doctor for whatever reason, and you happen to be in the U.S., for example, if you're having sleep issues, don't just ignore them. Mention it to your doctor. So if the doctor doesn't ask, at least mention it, because it might be related to something. So as the concept of sleep medicine becomes better understood and more prevalent in the medical community as a whole, you know, the hope is things will get better and better. We'll be regularly asking about that. But right now, I mean, you're hearing from Connor, you're hearing her story, and she was kind of left to her own devices.
Well, and that's that loneliness is really the inspiration for the company, because it's a way to get improved self-report data. You know, unbiased, objective data that doesn't rely on me knowing everything about myself to give to the doctor. Like it actually is going to inspire them to see things that I can't see. And isn't that great to be able to consult a professional who can, you know, look at the data and be like, my goodness, this is happening at a rate. And people are so sleep deprived too. Like how can, it's not even reliable. And the other, you know, in behavior, I'm a board certified behavior analyst now. And the reason that I am is because I have been actively trying to get this type of support into the healthcare community. And I found that vehicle through behavior analysis. And so the whole point of behavior analysis is to measure overt events. Right. And to understand how they all work together, right? And Percy is the perfect way to do that. And then we can really understand like the causal nature of how everything is connected.
Right, right. Well, so I need to stop and take a break here. But when we come back from the break, I want to talk about sort of how you're starting off with this, who your first audience is, and why. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We'll see you on the other side at Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you.
You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We are talking with Connor Herman, founder of Percy Sleep, and we've heard sort of the backstory and the inspiration, and obviously you've worked very hard to come up with the actual product. So let's start with, who is this product for right now? I realize it has broad implications, but how are you starting?
Sure. So our target market is autism. Did you know that 80% of autistic individuals have clinically significant sleep problems?
Wow. Wow. That's pretty high.
It is. It's remarkably high. And the reason I believe that it is going unaddressed is because of a data gap. Because a large part of this community is already in therapy, right? 15, 20, 30, sometimes even 40 hours a week. Many are living in group homes. There's a lot of support that's offered. And if there is that level of support being offered for addressing daytime behaviors, really teaching independent living and understanding what challenging behaviors might need to be replaced with other more socially acceptable behaviors. So, for instance, you know, somebody who hits for attention might need to be taught how to ask for attention, and that's, you know, great, right? And there is an entire industry of the best humans on the planet who are addressing these problems and providing this really specific, effective, evidence-based therapy. And the one part of the life that they cannot do this therapy is at night. Sure. And the reason for that is because behavior analysts do not work at night. Okay.
Well, so it might be creepy to have someone standing over your bed as well.
Well, I did it, you know, and many did. I don't think it's allowed anymore. And by the way, I'm just going to like caveat for everybody. Like, my first son is 20 now. This was not like a minute ago. So this is all of this started about two decades ago. So no hate to any doctor out there who didn't ask me about this. There's a lot that we've learned in the process, but my focus is on autism because there's already people who know how to do behavior interventions. They have there is an audience with a very defined community with an urgent need, and I can supply the data that they need today in order to start understanding what's happening at night and fix it, so that we're not unnecessarily sedating our entire neurodivergent autistic population.
Right. But how did you even become aware that this was a great population to start with?
Well, that is by accident.
Okay.
So I got really sad when I realized that I was going to have to roll up Dream Team Baby, that it wasn't going to scale the way that I wanted it to. And it took me some time to figure out like what I was going to do with this knowledge. And I decided that I needed to go back to school and understand the science behind what we were doing, so that maybe that would give me an idea about how else to use it. And so I signed up for a master's in behavioral psychology, not knowing that it was really about applied behavior analysis. And so when I showed up for my very first class, I was in, you know, it's almost a professional degree, really. And it was full of people who had been in this field and who wanted a more advanced degree in training, and then me. And I couldn't believe how smart everybody was and how capable and how effective the science was. And once I got into it, that's how I got introduced to the BCBA community that largely takes care of autistic individuals. But when I did almost like a journal report for a class lesson, I said, you know, they were teaching us how to get in and search through journal articles. And I'd never done that before. Like, that was not something that I was taught in school. And so I started looking for sleep articles that that showed me how sleep was being treated or improved in ABA, and there was almost nothing. I couldn't believe it. And I found one article by Dr. Jen that showed that she did a behavioral intervention across four different participants and even took them off of their medications, did a behavioral intervention, and the nighttime behaviors and sleep improved from beyond when they were on medicine. And that's when I realized, okay, what I had been doing was behavioral. It fits within this community. And now, and after talking to Dr. Jen, you know, they were doing it the same way I was doing it.
Wow.
You know, just trying to measure data one person at a time manually. And so that's that. I said, well, if I can make that easier to get data, then we can start treating this entire population with smart people like Dr. Jen who know how to do it. And that's where we started.
So when you're dealing with the neurodivergent community, in terms of sleep issues, you said 80% seem to have sleep issues. Is it the same type of thing, or does everybody have something different?
It's always different. Every single person's nighttime environment is completely different. It just is. It just, like, for you to make a small change, it might be very easy. For other people to make a small change, it might not, because it might have cascading effects. So, for instance, you know, we worked with a family whose child had day-night sleep confusion, and that sounds terrible. And it also sounds like, oh gosh, we're going to have to give this, that sounds medical, right? Like, that sounds like we've got to like rework some circadian rhythms and some other stuff. But we put the Percy in the room, and guess what we found? So the father, and please, for whoever is listening, we do not judge at night. We do not judge how people survive at night, and because it is all a symptom of something else. So I'm going to say caveat that. But we found that he was playing video games in the child's room all night, and that part of the story was not made clear to anyone, because when the parents were likely thinking about reporting what was happening, they were thinking about what their child was doing and the efforts that they went to fix and get him to sleep better at night. And the video games was the symptom of not being able to solve that. So it didn't occur to them to share.
Mm-hmm.
And so what starts out as like a fix sometimes to an immediate problem becomes the only thing that you can do. And you really have to understand like how much that behavior is a part of everything else that's going on. And so once we understood that that's what was happening, then we could get move the video games and create a behavioral intervention that now helped us understand like, okay, this is a child who has been awake at night watching somebody play video games. So how are we going to teach that individual to be in a room with no lights, no activity, none of this other stuff, and see if removing all of these things and doing this other thing during the daytime is going to increase the ability to sleep at night. And it did. You know,
wow.
So was it day-night sleep confusion that he had, or did he have environment that was maintaining day-night sleep confusion?
Right.
Very interesting. So you've got to know all the pieces of the story.
Yeah.
And it was very, very obvious to us that something was different. Like the sensor data was wild. And so that allowed us to have a really compassionate, gentle conversation, which is really the key. Like you have to have trust in the person who's got the data, right?
Well, this certainly helps to give a clear picture of the background as to why you developed the product and why the product exists. And so what I'd like to do now is talk about the product, what types of sensors, things that you do. But before we do that, we have to take our second break. So we're going to take our break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the details of how Percy works. So we'll see you in just a minute on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right, welcome back. We are just before the break, we said we were going to talk about the product itself, the Percy Sleep product. So here's what I'd love to know initially. Now, I'm going to describe the product for those who are listening by audio only. It's about the size of a decent size alarm clock, it looks like. It's a round product that sits next to your bed, I'm guessing, but I'm going to have you tell us that. And that's all I know about it. So what type of sensors are there? What does it measure? Is it hooked into an app? Give us the whole background.
Sure. So a lot of people like to describe it like an Echo.
Oh.
And it's wrapped in fabric. So it feels like a commercial product. It's a medical device. But we built it with the idea that it needs to fit into your life and your decor, because we hope you use it forever. We want to help you share this knowledge with your doctor forever, because we believe that the context around your sleep and your behaviors helps give that really important layer, to understanding how to address your chronic symptoms. Now, the device has light, sound, temperature, humidity, radar, and thermal imaging. We do not have a video camera. We use heat. We measure your heat so that we can know that you're there, but we don't need to know physical features. We don't need to know your gender. We don't need to know what pajamas you like to sleep in at night. All of this is personal identifying information, and it's not necessary to understand your habits and the data that we need to measure.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really important because we don't want to exploit anybody, especially somebody who might be non-consenting, like a child or an adult who is under the care of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we have all of these sensors, really, it allows us to do something that we call multimodal sensor fusion. And that means that it's not just reliant on one sensor. It's reliant on the cohesive group of sensors to help us identify and take our best guess at what's happening. And as long as we have those sensor footprints, then we can measure it.
Wow.
And then all of it goes to a dashboard that your doctor has. So we are able to have the same core metrics that any wearable might be able to produce, but then we can overlay it with the behavioral data. And if doctors really like a certain actigraph or some kind of wearable, like we have a doctor who really likes to has patients wear the Whoop. If you have something like that that you're used to reading, we can integrate that into the dashboard so that it's easy to look at all the data at the same time. And we call that Percy Lab, and it's a component of the business that we're building out right now.
All right. So wait, let me get this clear. So if you're using Percy, it's because your doctor gave it to you, because your doctor gets the data. Okay. And what does something like a wearable, like a Whoop or something else, what does that do that Percy doesn't do? Why would you need to integrate?
It's just if somebody really likes that data. We don't really, I don't have the perspective that anybody's data is bad data. I think the more data you get, the more integrations that you can possibly have, the more layers you can add to your context graph, the better. And so, you know, if somebody feels like they really want to know the data from their wearable, we can also tell you, okay, well, that light sleep stage, that's happening because they're probably sleeping on their couch, you know, or, hey, a person just entered the room when this was happening. And so we can give that extra layer of, okay, oh, every time, you know, we see increased restlessness, they're partner is making a lot of noise. So anyway, we're able to give that other little variable of information that helps you understand the entire night.
So, all right, then help me understand this part. And I'll ask two questions because I think the answer is probably related.
Okay.
How would Percy know that dad is in the room playing video games versus child is up and moving around? And how does it differentiate, if it does, between, let's say you have a situation where the parents are co-sleeping with the child, so you got two people in the bed next to each other. How does it tell you this?
Well, so if I were trying to measure two people, I would probably have two Percys.
Okay.
Just so that I could make sure that each person's experience was being represented. So if I have a night, so I'm perimenopausal, I am on progesterone, and I sleep like a baby. But But before I was on progesterone, I was waking up at 3 a.m. and, you know, having a really hard time. If you look at my Percy data compared to my daughter's data, who was sleeping right next to me, it was almost as if I was not there. She had a really lovely, very nice, uninterrupted night of sleep, and it's chaos on the other side. So she slept very, very well, despite me, right? So that was really fun to see. When it comes to some of the details, like the dad, for instance, we wouldn't be able to say like, oh, it's the father. Okay. But we would be able to say, you know, looking at the motion of the person and knowing that they're in bed, like, are they, you know, do they seem active? Are they in and out of bed? Does it appear that they are the ones that are playing the video games? Or are we detecting the presence of another person in the room? And then because of the volume and because of the screen, it's pretty easy to tell that something is going on, whether it's a movie or a video game. We're not going to be able to discriminate that. But because the data is so obvious that something is happening, it becomes the conversation. Right. So instead of having to draw that out the way that you and I are talking right now, we would have data in front of us. And I could be like, wow, this volume is very high all night long. And it looks like there's multiple people in the room. Who are the people? Tell me this narrative. And then that's where the story starts to get filled in.
Mm-hmm. So I'm baffled, which makes me curious.
Great.
I understand you said if there's two people in bed, you would have two Percys. I got it. What I'm baffled about is how do the sensors in one Percy differentiate your activity versus the person laying next to you without getting it all jumbled and confused?
It's the radar settings and the thresholds that we have programmed into it. So it's meant to read the sleeper. So it's installed that way. And so each Percy has its own perspective, basically. And it's basically like the person who it's next to.
Hmm.
And So it's reading the rest of the room from the context and perspective of the sleeper.
Hmm. So it is able to pick up the volume of noise in the room. Is it able to differentiate between like a white noise machine versus a cling clang of a video game?
Yes. If it's picking up music from a video game, it would read that differently. Or if there was talking, mm-hmm. for instance, it would label it differently. Because it's just labeling the sounds. That would be and the combination of that and the level of light in the room and the kind of light in the room leads us to making more conclusions as to what is actually happening. So we've been focused primarily on being right. Like, did we label that correctly? Mm-hmm. We had a really interesting case of somebody who has a severe disorder that keeps them awake all night. And I actually, the very first night that we got that data, I called the doctor and I was like, I am so sorry. Like, our system's screwy. Like, give me a day to calibrate. And she's like, what did you see? And I was like, well, we're reading that the room is completely pitch black. There is no sound. We picked up a dog in the middle of the night and activity the entire night at a level that I've never seen before. And she goes, yeah, you got it right. And I've never, but like there were not, it wasn't multiple people coming in. Nobody was creating any environment that would keep this individual up. But one of the symptoms that I was not aware of was that those nights happen, and it's really hard for caregivers to communicate that they're not contributing to it. Right. And so I thought that something was wrong with our sensors, because that wouldn't have happened. Like, there would have been talking, there would have been people in and out, their lights on and off. Like, usually when people are awake at night, there's a lot of the story to go on. And that's when, so when you have a lack of all of that and still a massive sleep disturbance, that's the indication that something medical is going on.
Right.
You know, something big that somebody needs to understand.
Wow, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So I have a suggestion for a second market for you, which is making it available to kids so that they will be made aware when the monster under the bed is
active. Ooh, I love it. We'll definitely incorporate that. I love it. Oh my gosh, how cute. Like, you get so serious and you forget, like, really obvious. That's so fun.
Well, let me ask sort of the last question, because we're reaching our time limit here. So it sounds like Percy is already out there being used. And if so, where? Is it just the U.S.? Is it available worldwide? Tell us where it is.
So right now it's being used by different physicians and therapists and BCBAs. So we're building them by hand. So as we build them, we build them, we send them out so that people can start using them. And so so if there's anybody who's listening to this who wants to try a Percy, like, please reach out to us and let us know on our wait list. And if you're interested in buying one, we're taking pre-sale orders, because we're moving into our first manufacturing run, and then we'll be able to get Percys out there everywhere.
Wonderful. So if they wanted to get on the waiting list, how do they do that? How do they find you?
So on our website, we have a big button at the top that says join our wait list.
Okay.
And if you fill out that information, then we'll be in touch with you, and we'll do a little pilot if you want to try it. And if you have somebody in mind that you think you'd like to help, we can do that. You can try it out. And then if you're interested in buying, then we are taking pre-sale orders to make sure that the people who want it the most get it right away once it's ready.
So give us your website address, and then we got to close out.
All right. So we're at www.percysleep.com.
Perfect.
P-E-R-C-Y.
Sleep. Exactly. I was going to ask you that. All right. Okay. Well, we are a little bit over time here, so thank you all for joining us. I hope you find this to be educational and helpful. And if you are interested in the product, please do visit the website. This has been Sleep Science Today. We have a new episode every single week. You can take a look at our website, www.sleepsciencetoday.com, where you can find the episodes, and you can even see the Percy product on our YouTube channel, because we've actually shown it on the screen here. So take a look at that, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much, Connor, for joining us, and I wish you the best of luck with the company.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Sleep Science Today, your number one sleep authority.
Sleep Science Today.